Welcome to Offplan and Investments Unplugged 2, a brand new segment of our podcast where we answer your frequently asked investment questions. Welcome back to Offplan and Investments Unplugged 2. I'm Simon Baker and joined again by Rennie Sanger. We're here to answer your off-plan and investment questions for Dubai real estate and the rest of the UAE. Right, Rennie, so today we're talking about five questions to ask yourself when investing in Dubai real estate.
Yes, we are.
So I guess you could position that as if it were us qualifying a client. If you're a real estate broker listing wanting to qualify a client, or if you're a customer looking to make sure that you are asking all the right questions to get the right answers and make sure that your agent is sending you, you know, the properties that really fit those requirements. We're probably not even talking about which developer and which, you know, specific investment to buy. The first one I would bring up would be budget and how you're going to finance it. So literally how much you're going to spend.
Yeah.
And do you want to carry on from there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, starting right at the basics, right? It was how much have you got to spend on this investment? And I think once you understand not only your budget, and even that, you know, you can kind of dive a bit deeper into how much do you actually have available today? Because, you know, for example, we have many clients who have put down, for example, like $1 million being the investment or how much they'd like to spend, but they've got 80% of that they would like to do on handover. You know, so they can't actually fulfill the terms of a payment plan, 60-40 or the different sort of payment plans you get in the market. So it's understanding how much they have today and what sort of EMI they can have, monthly installments, I should say, during the course of the agreement.
Sure. So what you mean is what you've got coming up. Correct. Some people have got businesses that are earning money, maybe every quarter they get a payment or something. Absolutely. And they've got money to invest. So again, very important for you to understand as a customer, you know, how much money you've got today, how much money you've got coming in the future. And then potentially, of course, how much we can finance. So anything, correct, depending on the situation, potentially between 50 and 80% that we could finance.
Absolutely. And then that also depends on whether you're a resident or non-resident, depending on the payment terms. We've been quite fortunate as of late to see some projects launch with a very healthy 30-70 payment plan. So if you're a resident, you could leverage the majority upon handover. If you're a non-resident, you might need to top it up a little bit more and then borrow maybe up to 60%. So there are different, and again, that's why it's probably the number one question we need to understand as agents, because then we can best advise the payment plan that's going to work towards your financial goals.
I mean, sometimes obviously people find it a bit of a difficult topic, don't they? Say, right, Rennie, how much money you got? Show me your bank account. But of course, very important, and also for the agent, for both the customer to understand how much they can buy, but also for the agent to then be able to provide the best service and offer the best property. So important to know how much money they've got now, how much you can leverage. So of course, and it, you know, we talk about not over leveraging, but at the same time, paying completely with cash may well be a bit of a waste of your money, and you may well be able to use, you know, in a market where you've got such high rental returns, which we'll probably come into in a minute.
Yeah.
It does seem a shame that you're not using some of the bank's money. If you can borrow at 5% and make 7 or 8% income, then you're actually winning.
Absolutely. And that goes on to like the post handover payment plans, where, you know, you could do that with an interest free loan, so to speak. So there are different ways we can kind of identify different opportunities. We have actually done a separate segment on payment plans.
It sounds like we've just opened up a load of questions and we could talk about that for an hour, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But I guess, okay, so ultimately the agent needs to understand, or the client needs to understand exactly, you know, and the more transparency, the better relationship between the investor and your broker, the better they'll be able to service you.
Absolutely.
As a next one, what would you say is the next most important
for me? Once we understand your budget, it's also understanding what are your goals, what are your objectives for this investment. And I say that with you, that are you looking to achieve just a great or a steady return on investment, or is it a capital appreciation sort of play, or are you trying to find a harmony of both? And once we as agents understand that, again, we can start to best advise where we think this particular project might benefit from substantial growth during the course of construction. If your idea is to flip, in inverted commas, flip I think is usually defined as something you do quite quickly, but upon handover, I should say. Or if you're looking to kind of hold it for maybe 10 to 15 years and get a steady income.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think obviously Dubai is a market where you can get very, very strong rental returns, but there are potentially tenancy options where the ones that are maybe 8 or 9% rental return net certainly would probably not necessarily be the ones that you would be getting, you know, will have the opportunity for as much capital growth. They might be smaller units, studios and one beds, let's say, that might not be as attractive to, you know, in the future to in terms of exit routes to an end user. So I guess if you can understand if we can understand what that customer's looking for, and if it's a balance between the two, hopefully we can come back with the right solutions for that.
Definitely. Yeah.
Question three I have here was who's going to manage the property.
I think that's a big one.
There's a few, obviously, that opens up a couple of new avenues It's not as simple as, I think people are very easy to buy property in Dubai, and it was certainly very easy to buy property off plan. When it comes to handover, who's going to hand it over for you? Who's going to manage it for you?
I agree. And I think that's a very, very big one. I think it's often overlooked because, as you quite rightly said, it's almost all too easy to get the first bit done, right? And buying a property, especially in a booming market, everybody's real estate.
Who's then going to look after it and make it and turn that investment into an income producing asset is the way I like to look at it. And that's obviously the most important bit.
Absolutely. And I think even if you dig a bit deeper, and this may be another, you know, FAQ we get quite a lot, is why does someone buy through a real estate broker versus the developer directly? Mm. And again, that's a really big part of that, right? The developer who sometimes we see offer some astronomical sort of return on investments because naturally they're trying to sell you their product. Yeah. But it's actually having someone who's accountable, who has experience in that market, who have a dedicated team to say, this is actually how much we can achieve.
Ironically enough, it's very rare that the developer ever actually rents it for you.
No, exactly.
It does the handover.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, exactly. And then that's also twofold, right? So whether you wanted to rent it out long term, whether you wanted to do short term rental, and then obviously the property maintenance and management and everything else that we offer under the umbrella.
I think we have that as the fourth one, which is what expenses to expect. So obviously, of course, it's great to hear that, you know, you bought an amazing property, you know, someone can manage it, someone can rent it out for you.
Yeah.
But as part of that management, you know, there are some expenses.
Yes, there are. So your kind of startup costs, even when you're purchasing the property itself, which should naturally be the stamp duty or Dubai Land Department fee, plus your kind of registration and accrued fees. And then, of course, what you want to know from the outset is what does your upkeep look like during the course of, you know, your tenor, whether you're owning the property yourself or whether you're renting it out. So, you know, that's usually in the case of a service charge. So apartments tend to be a bit higher, as we know, and townhouse villas are proportionately cheaper. But you do need to understand that from the very beginning, even when just trying to understand how much return on investment you're going to make, you need to understand, you know, what your outgoings.
Obviously, as a landlord, you're going to end up being liable to pay the service charge and obviously any potential maintenance issues, which is important. You're buying something of good quality.
Sure.
So, of course, they come off the gross rent, don't they? Which is, and it's often easy for developers and maybe some agents to say, oh, the rental will be this.
Yeah.
And not necessarily giving you a net figure. They're giving you, oh, you know, the rent will be 100,000, but they're not taking into consideration that there maybe there's 20,000 of service fees, and maybe you could account for, say, 5,000 a year in maintenance. So being realistic, we much prefer to give someone like the real number that they might actually get in their pocket.
Yeah.
I think that's even more important when you're buying with some form of financing, you've got some form of leverage, that you need to, you know, you've got a liability to make, you can pay against that property. And if you're not making the return, then suddenly it's coming out of your pocket, right?
Absolutely. And I think, if again, another big one on that merit is when you're doing holiday rentals. So it's so easy to kind of just flippantly almost say, look, we'll just put it on Airbnb later. But it's actually understanding the costs involved. Yeah. What does the management fee look like? What are your overheads, your DWA bills, and so on and so forth? So again, I know we're very proactive in trying to give people those figures from the get-go so they can make an informed decision. But they are very much questions you need to understand.
No, I think it's a really good point. It's very, very important. And it's obviously important that so you can get some, hopefully, some fairly unbiased advice in terms of someone, you know, rather than someone who just does Airbnb and holiday letters. Of course, they're not going to say rent it long term, are they?
So, no, of course.
And for, we find some properties that certainly recently there's been an increase in supply of the holiday short term rentals. So obviously, sometimes the long term rentals actually maybe a better option.
Yeah,
for people.
Absolutely.
And we can give you can give that fair advice.
Exactly.
Can't
yeah, that's right.
The last point question I've got of these five questions is who is going to be your tenant, or on the flip side of that, who's going to be your future buyer? So that's your exit route, essentially.
Yeah, I agree. And again, a really big one. And it's one that I often look at, particularly for investors who are particularly trying to purchase with view of kind of exiting before handover or upon completion. It's actually really understanding from the get-go, you know, where is the value in this opportunity? Is it going to service a particular sort of demographic of buyers? Is there maybe like a new hub spot that's kind of going to be in and around that area, whether that's within the financial district, or, you know, we see like an emerging market kind of being born out of this one community. So it's really understanding, why is this such an attractive investment? Who is going to be your profile of tenant or future buyer? Is it going to be more of like an investor that's going to come and take it over later on, or is it going to be an end user? And of course, if we're looking to go for capital appreciation, you'd rather hope it's the latter, because end users would typically pay a bit more.
You want someone to be buying it with their heart rather than their head, I guess.
100%, yes,
and obviously, exactly. That hence why we mentioned earlier that obviously typically studios and one beds might not appreciate as much as maybe say a larger two bed or a two bed maids, which if you're quite rare, aren't they, for apartments, or a three bedroom. And that's mainly because that, you know, that end user buyer is going to be someone who maybe needs two or three bedrooms. It's quite rare for end users to want to buy a studio, isn't it?
No, so, absolutely.
And hence, hopefully, they would pay a bit of a premium because they're buying the view and they're buying the building and they're buying the community.
Correct.
Which would hopefully give that investor a bigger return on investment.
Correct. And then they can obviously usually, upon handover, leverage with a mortgage, where they may be more inclined to spend a little bit more, as you said, because it might be their future home and so on and so forth. So, yeah, makes sense.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Ronnie. I think that wraps up that short episode. Thank you for joining us, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next one.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. If you've got questions for our next episodes, leave a comment or drop us a message on social media. Find the links in the show notes below.